Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Praise the Lord. This is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I trust that you had a great and a grand and a victorious day. I don't know, but I thank and praise the Lord. The sun was shining today, and I like warm weather. We just thank and praise the Lord again for this day, because truly this is the day that the Lord have made. And I choose, as an act of my will, I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I just thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong for what God is doing in their life. They are the sponsor of this broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord for allowing us to play a part in it. And so we just thank and praise the Lord for you that have tuned in. And we've been talking about human will, and a lot of people don't realize. I hear a lot of people say a lot of time, I just can't do it. Hosea 4:6 said, God, people are disgruntled for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is so important. Knowledge is very important, and that's why it's so important. If you're a born-again believer, even if you're not born again, you need to read the Bible. Now, if you ain't been born again, you're not going to understand the Bible. But if you've been born again, when you come in, when you get born again, you get a new spirit. You don't get a new soul. And the strongest force in a human person is our will. A lot of people be saying, when the Lord get ready, he going to do this and he going to do that. Some promise in the Bible is conditional and some is unconditional. And once you get in your word and read the Bible, you will find out God's responsibility to man, but man's responsibility to God. And that is so important. In 3 John, it says, I wish, beloved, above all things that you will be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prosper. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul is the intellect, and the strong, as I stated, the strongest force in a person, in human, is our will. And God will not force you or make you or me or anybody do anything. And when I came into the knowledge of that, after I got saved, it really helped me a lot. It really transformed my life, because I will always, well, when God get ready for me to live right, I'm going to live right. When God get ready to change me, God going to change me. I was ignorant. I was truly ignorant of what God's word said about me. But when I got in the word, especially when I got in Romans the 12th chapter, and it began to tell Paul, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, he would tell them, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And now, I had to find out where I had a question for a long time. Who gonna renew my mind? You know, and I had to find out the way my mind is renewed. I have to pick up the word of God and I have to read it. And once I read it, I have to put into practice, apply the word of God. I had to do that. That's conditional. And that's what I had to do. That ain't what God was going to do. And see, there too again, if you don't understand this, that's why I say you go back to Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he was talking about the knowledge of the Bible. And the Bible revealed to us what is the plan, the will of God for each and every one. A lot of times I use the terminology that I compare my Bible to a menu. You know, when you buy most appliances, they come with a menu. And that menu tell you how to operate the appliance or what you done bought. Well, the Bible tell us how we supposed to function on this earth, what God will have for us to do, how to do it. You know, as I stated, God responsibility to man and man responsibility to God. And I tell you, if you don't know that, now, today, we're going to continue to talk about love. We was in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go there and just read that. We started on Monday, and we was in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. I'm going to go to it right now, and I'm going to read it, because as I stated, God created us with we're a free moral agent. That's right. God gave you a will. That's why Paul constantly said, don't use your liberty to sin. He even said in Romans, he said, as you yield your members to unrighteousness, now yield it to righteousness. And I'm telling you, it's an act of your will. We choose to do, we choose not to do. That's what God could have made Adam obey in the garden, but he didn't. He could have made Eve obey, but he didn't. It's an act of your will. Even when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit come in, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you or I or force us to do anything. What he does, the thought will come to you. You need to read. The thought will come to you. Don't do this or don't do that. But he is not going to make you do it. I'm telling you. You know, so many people is in bondage, and they blaming God, and they blaming the devil, they blaming everybody else, but you operate in ignorance, and you don't mean no harm, and I don't mean no harm in telling you that, but it is what it is. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, 5 and 14, hallelujah, and 5 and 14, it said, for the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge that if one die fall, then we're all dead. It was talking about the other word, the love of God. Paul was letting them know it's through the love of God. That's what controlled them. They allowed them, they operate in the love. And in St. John 3:16, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, you know, even when it comes down to racism, Jesus died for all race of people, all color people. He died for that's what he did. He died for he didn't just die for just one race of people. He didn't just die for the Afro-America. He just didn't die for the white or Latino. He died for all race of people. And once you get that knowledge and the revelation of it, the reality that kick in, you find out God loves everybody. He loved everybody. Now, God hates sin, but God loved everybody. And there, too, again, Apostle Paul taught his disciples, and he operated in that type of love. He got a revelation, and he got a knowledge, a revelation, and the understanding, and the reality of the love of God. Jesus said, by you loving one another, this people would know that you are my disciple. He also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And if you continue reading this, Paul was talking about once you get saved. He was talking about that. He was saying, herefore know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have, that's the 16th verse. Wherefore henceforth, since you've been born again, no, we know man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then he said, in all things is of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. But the point I'm making is this. When it comes down to love, And I'm telling you, God loves everybody. And as a born-again believer, what we're going to do, we're going to go in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We call that the love chapter. And it's talking about, it revealed to us how God loved and how love supposed to operate. And Paul was talking to the Corinthians. A lot of them had not got born again, and they were operating in the gift, but they weren't doing it in love. You see, God is not an enemy giver. Whatever God give you, God is not going to take it back. Now, God, the only one, can take evil take anything and cause it. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, if you love God and you've been called according to his purpose, that God can cause it, that whatever you go through in life, he can cause it to work for your good. But like I said, a lot of people, and I didn't really want to go this way, but, you know, I take my instruction from God. Before I go into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I want us to go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I want us to go there, and I want to show you some in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, because as I stated, this is so important. You know, we're living in a time now, the Bible says, the love of many gonna wax cold. He also told us that many gonna depart from the faith. We're seeing a lot of murder, sir. We're hearing about it. Some people seeing it. They experience. We're seeing this. And even in the body of Christ, some of the saints haven't as yet been perfected when it come down to their love walk. One of the fruits of the Spirit, the first one is love. Well, let me pray. See, I don't start, and I always pray, you know, before I come on the broadcast, but for some of you, I'm going to go on and pray. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, I thank you for this day because truly, this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I just decree and declare by the authority in the word of God and in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is being released over the airwaves. Those that have tuned into the broadcast, I thank you, Father, for bringing knowledge, understanding, and revelation. I thank you that you're going to cause this word, this day, to transform people's lives. I even thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit go even bring healing to people. I even rebuke discomfort in people's body. I thank you this broadcast is covered with the blood of Jesus. I thank you that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Now, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, on your own time, I would advise you, you know, to read it. To read it in his whole chapter because right here, Jesus addressed religion. Yes, he does. If you read the whole 13th chapter, the whole 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus is addressing religion. He addressing religion because I'm going to talk a little bit about that before I get into Matthew the 13th. And whenever I do, I want people to know because sometimes when you use that, when I use the term of religion, I want people to know that I'm not casting a stone at any particular denomination or independent church because I believe in the denomination church as well as in the independent churches. I really believe that we have some religious people in all of them. So when I address a little bit about religion before I go into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I don't want you to get offended or think I'm blasting anybody. I'm not doing that. I'm just bringing some knowledge and bringing some understanding to you. That's what I'm doing because, like I said, God loves everybody, but God hates sin. And like I said, when you read Matthew, and Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Because like I said, a lot of people look at saints, and I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're a saint, as I said, if you've been born again and you haven't been perfected in the love of God, you're going to confuse some people. You're going to really about confuse you. The Bible say that the love of God been shared abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And like I said, Jesus even said it. He said, if you love me, you would keep my commandment. And he said, when we keep his commandment, we abide in his love. And like I said, a lot of times, people waiting on God, you know, to do everything. No, it's an act of your will. I want you to hear me. Your will and my will play a major part whether we're going to experience the abundant life that Jesus came. And John 10:10, he said, the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. But it's not going to automatically happen. I want you to hear me. You know, I went through a time period when I first got saved. I just know that, you know, God, you know, I just put everything on God. You know, God gonna do this and God gonna do this. And through the coming, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he done did everything that need to be done. You need to know that Apostle Peter said he done gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need to submit and operate in the laws and the principles of the kingdom, he done gave it to us. And that's why I said I wanted to address this, because like I said, I'm going to read that 23rd chapter because you need to see, because religion often give people a lot of rules to follow and a lot of laws to keep. But I had to find out they don't tell them how to operate in the word. And that's the thing about the kingdom. The kingdom tell you who God is, who God the Father is, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then it give you talk about the laws and the principles, what God require from you, what God done grace you with, or what God done put in you, what Christ came to do. And just like in Philippians, said, God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But there too, again, all of this is based upon the act of your will. Now, if you go to Romans, the first chapter, and you read back, I think it's the first 7 or 8 verse, but it tell you that how God, when all of the way God created all of us, his part is in us, that know right from wrong. Even if you're a sinner, a sinner know right from wrong. A sinner know that it's a God somewhere. A sinner know that man just didn't automatically just drop out the sky on the earth. Because God put that knowing in all of us, but Paul said because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them up for a reprobated mind. He let them begin to do what they want. That was the act of their will. There too, again, you can either build on the knowledge of God or you can take from it by allowing yourself to take on what other people say other than what the Bible say. Okay? Now, like I said, I want you to know I'm addressing religion, but I want you to know I'm not trying to cast no stone at nobody, but it's the truth. Because like I said, religion, what it does, like I said, a religion organization, what it do, it often, like I said, often teach people what to do, but fail to teach them how to do it. A lot of people don't try religion, and they done discovered that it did not change them or their life at all. And like I said, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus addressed religion. And that's what I'm going to read it. Like I said, I'm going to read a few verses from the Message Bible. It said, now Jesus turned to address his disciples along with the crowd that had gathered with them, the religious scholars and Pharisees, competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong in following their teaching on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their heart and live it out in their behaviors. It is all spit and poly vendors. Instead of giving you God's law as food and drink by which you can banquet on God, they pack it in bundles of rules, loading you down like a pack animal. They seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads, and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows and barter prayer shawl one day and flower prayer the next. They love to sit at the head table at church, Donna, basing in most phenomenal position, parents in the rating of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees, and getting called doctors and rebels. Don't let people do that to you. Put you on a pedestal like that. You all have a single teacher, and you are all classmates. Don't set up peoples up as experts. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to drop down to that 13th verse. He said, I have had it with you, you hopeless, you religious scholar, you Pharisee, you fraud. Your life's a roadblock to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter, and you won't let anyone else in it either. You hopeless, you religious scholar, Pharisee, fraud. You go halfway around the world to make a convert, but once you get him, you make him a replica of yourself, double damn it. You hopeless, what arrogant and stupidity you say. If someone make a promise with his finger crossed, that's nothing. But if he swear with his hand on the Bible, that's serious. What ignorance. Does the leather on the Bible carry more weight than the skin on your hand? And what about this piece of trash? If you shake hand on a promise, that's nothing. But if you raise your hand that God is your witness, that's serious. What ridiculous, half-splitting, what difference does it make whether you shake hands or raise hands? A promise is a promise. What difference does it make if you make your promise inside or outside a house of worship? A promise is a promise. God is present, watching you, holding you accountable regardless to what. You hopeless and religious. Like I said, read it. If you read all of this, you'll see how Jesus rebuked the religious, the Pharisees, because they were up. Like he said, you can listen that day teaching when it came down to the Mosaic law. But when it come down to their lifestyle, when it come down to putting in practice what they read, he said, you don't need to deal with because they fraudulent, they fake. And like I said, when I address it, I'm going to say it again, when I address religion, when I'm looking at it, I'm not trying to cast stones at any particular denomination or independent church. I'm not doing that because I believe in denominational churches as well as independent churches. I believe you can find religion people in all of them. I really believe that. You see, Jesus did not come to give man a religion, but he came to give us a relationship. He came to give man a deep and a personal relationship with the Father through him. People don't need a, see, people need a relationship with God, not a religion. A relationship with God will cause you to, it'll transform your life. It'll bring about the reality. The Bible will come alive to you. And that is so important. That's why when I listen to the way man defined love, and the way God defined love is different. Man defined love pertaining to Eros and stuff, and Philo. But God defined love, agape love, unconditional love. And we as born-again believers, because the love of God, being shielded, born in our heart by the Holy Ghost, we can operate, release that love, we can show that love, we can demonstrate that agape love. And that's why I said when I go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it really revealed to us about the gifts. It talk about the love of God. But like I said, there too, again, like I said, a lot of times religious people, I forgive, like I said, people's rules to follow, laws to keep, and it can't even lead. And like I said, it don't do anything for you because God said in his word, we love him because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. And then he gone to say in James 2:13, and that mercy triumphs over judgment. And it is the goodness of God that lead men to repentance. That's in Romans 2:4, not keeping the laws and rules. And like I said, a lot of religion often teach their people what to do, but it failed to teach them how to do it. But in the kingdom, it don't only tell you what to do, but the kingdom tell you how to do it, and it tell you, now, when it tell you how to do it, it lets you know you can do it based upon the redemption work of Christ. We're in the dispensation of Christ. Yes, in the New Testament, we in the new dispensation of Christ, the dispensation of mercy, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. We in that dispensation now. But before I came into this teaching, remember we talked about the three Hebrew boys. We talked about Daniel. We talked about Joseph. And it was amazing how they did. They were not operating in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit wasn't in them, but he would come upon them. But how Joseph, the way he was treated, his brother sold him, put him in the well, then they sold him off to Potiphar. He spent some time in Potiphar's house. And remember when Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph, how Joseph didn't try to defend himself. He went to prison. But the point I want to, out of all the trouble, the disappointment that he went through, he kept his integrity, just like the three Hebrew boys. But see, that was an act of their will. And that's what I, for years of my life, I couldn't understand how the characters in the old covenant, some of how they were so faithful to God, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit abiding them like us, he would come upon them. But it was an act of their will. They stayed faithful. They stayed true to God. Even the three Hebrew boys, when Nebuchadnezzar was saying that if they didn't bow to the image, the gold image that he made, he was going to throw them in the fire furnace. And even when he followed through with it, they didn't burn. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked over in there, he said he saw a fourth man. He even said, did we not put three, but I see four into the Son of Man. And see, my point is this. They, as an act of their will, they choose to operate based upon the covenant that they had at that time. The Hebrew boys were willing to lose their life. And because they even told the king, he said, King, if God don't deliver us, we know he ever, but we still ain't going to bow. When Daniel got the message that he couldn't bow three times a day and pray, Daniel continued to be faithful. That was up under the old covenant. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrew, we have a better covenant with better promise. But even a lot of the same, because of ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of revelation, revelation is the reality. You know, people go to church from Sunday to Sunday instead of as an act of their will. You know, you use your will. We use our will every day. You know, you get up and go to work. As an act of your will, you get up and bathe yourself, dress yourself, get in your automobile, and off you go to work. Well, when it comes down to the things of God, the enemy wants you to believe that you can't do it. What kind of father that God will be to ask you and I to do anything that he know we don't have the ability, but in this new dispensation of grace, God have given us, we have access to the ability, the power to do what God say do. And that's why I want to show you that, because like I said, there too again, like I said, we've been talking about love, the love of God. And in Romans 12 and 21, and from the Amplified, do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When somebody mistreats you as a born-again believer. Now, like I said, a sinner, his state nature to sin, you know. But the Bible tells us, that's why when, if you read majority of all the epistles, they telling you how to live a Christian life, what God requires from you. It tells you what to do because it know you and I been graced with the ability, come on somebody, to do it. Yes? That's why it tells you that. I got to get in that 13th chapter, but I'm hearing the Lord, you know. I don't study for a message, but I study because I will to live right. Now, in 2 Peter, like I said, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in 2 Peter, like I said, in the kingdom, once you get born again, it tells you, through the laws and principles of God, it tells you what God requires from you, what God have did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and tell you how to live, how to walk. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. And I hear people all the time, we got so many people, even in the body of Christ, they rude. Come on, somebody. They're not doing what the Word says instead of walking in love. Now, In 2 Peter, the first chapter, it's according. Now, let me go to that second verse. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, you need some knowledge. You need to have some knowledge of what who God is, who the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But like I said, you have to get in this word and read this word. Even in Ephesians, the first chapter, Apostle Paul said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, what God requires from you. God only require from us what he have graced us with the ability and enable us to do it. And I'm telling you, some of you don't realize you, it's an act of your will. You choosing not to read the word. You choosing not to do the word. And you blaming the devil. You blaming God and everybody else. You need to understand. When I got this knowledge and revelation about the act of my will, for a whole day, maybe for off and on for a whole week, I meditate from sometime now. And I tell myself, and as an act of your will, you choose to do that. Yeah, the devil do present the thoughts, but I don't have to act on them. Thoughts come word and word come action. Okay? But like I said, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, it's according as, in the third verse, according as his divine power have given unto us all things pertaining to life and God. Through what? Through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by thee, by what? By the promise, these ye might be partaker of his divine, who he, to my God, divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. That's, you see, that's your part. Now, God done did all he going to do. Now, I'm finally getting to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And like I said, I want you to see this. Now, what I tell you, I want you to read, when you have time, go read Matthew, the 23rd chapter in its entirety. And you're going to find out, while I say it, while I address religion. Like I said, you need to know this because Apostle Paul, and this is what blessed me about Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he addressed the Corinthians because they were operating. Listen, the gifts were being manifest, and they was excited about the gifts, but he was letting them know that they were operating. It was a lack of love. Come on, somebody. I'm going to read some notes. His apostle gave evidence of the Corinthians' lack of love and the utilizing of the spirit to give. He then defined real love and showed how love works. Love is more important than all the spirit to give. See, they was excited about the spirit to gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they weren't, they modus weren't, they wouldn't operate in love. And you know, a lot of people say, well, what love? Love have everything to do with a Christian life. And that's why it's so important. Jesus didn't come to give religion, but he came and opened the door that we can have a personal relationship with our Creator. God always wanted to have a relationship with humanity. And you got some saved folks, some saints. Now, listen, it's a process. No, you don't. I didn't get where I'm at overnight. I'm still. It's still some areas in my life that God's working on. But it shouldn't take you 10 or 20 years before you make up in your mind you're going to be a doer. James said, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word. And that's why Jesus was rebuking and addressing the Pharisees, because he was saying they were telling other people what to do. They wasn't doing it themselves. They were with the prayer show. They were called doctor and reverend. But when it, the inside of them, they weren't being a doer of the word. They were wanted. They had a bunch of rules, but they didn't abide by the rules. But they wanted somebody else. And there too, again, as I stated, Jesus did not come to give religion. He was already here. But he came for us to be able to have a personal relationship with God. That's why it is so important. I pray I'm going too fast, because sometimes I get excited and I do that. But Jesus came that we may have a personal relationship with the Father. That's what reconciliation, that's why he came to fix it, that man relationship can be restored back to the Father. And y'all, I'm telling you, we living in an hour and a time. If you ain't making and finding time to be with the Lord, you ain't going to enjoy that abundant life. You're not going to be successful in doing spiritual warfare. You're not going to be able to discern what voice. Many voices out. But you ain't going to be able to discern what voice you are listening to. You can only discern the voice the way you put, you can only discern them when you know what the words say. The Bible tells us in Hebrew, the word of God is powerful and sharp than a two-edged sword. And it shows you how to discern, separate what's coming. And to tell you that what the word do. Okay, he going to say, I'm saying, love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised in the church body. And I'm great faith, act of dedication, a sacrifice, and miracle working power have little effect without love. Love make our action and give you for. Although people have different gifts, love is available to everyone. And I'm our society, I'm still reading notes, our society confuse love and lust, unlike love. And a lot of people, what they call love is lust. And see, religious people, what they do, they love conditional. Agape, God love unconditionally. Now, God hates sin. If you read Romans, the first chapter, in this entirety, you'll see that. You know, but see, a lot, yet God give you up. If you choose not to maintain a relationship with God, or you choose not to seek your face and spend time with, what you're going to automatically find yourself operate in the desires of your flesh. Okay? God kind of love is direct outward towards others. Love gives. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. Okay? Now, like I said, okay, now I read that. Now I'm going into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because like I said, there too again, Paul even went down to let him know. He said, love is not irritable. And y'all, sometimes saints can be so irritable. Prophet, you ain't never been there. Yes, I've been there too. But guess what? Even today, I had kind of busy day today. And I got home and I was trying to get seller and get still. So, you know, for the broadcast, and I was getting phone calls after phone call. And I find myself, and I remember, after act of my will, I'm not going that way. You see, when you know what the words say, your soul, God never intended for man to be led by his soul. But he always expect us to be led by the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you want to fulfill the desires of the lusts of the flesh. And that's why you hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm in love. And it don't last but a couple months. Sometimes it don't last that long. You know, I've had some couples that have come to me, Prophet Miller, I don't love my wife no more. We're just not compatible. You what the love that God requires from us, it's unconditional. And a lot of religious people, they love conditional. Long as you're doing what they want, they don't have a problem with you. A lot of times they want to clean the fish before they catch the fish. You know, I've been down that road. I done had some religion in me too. And I got delivered, you know. You know, you can't expect for a newborn baby in Christ to act like somebody that been saved over 4 or 5 months or maybe up to a year more than that. Okay? So, now, we in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I love the revelation Paul had. And like I said, God kind of love is direct, outward towards other, not inward towards ourselves. You got some things that they selfish, you know. It ought to be what can you do to help other people. They just selfish. I'm being honest. And I'm telling you, it is impossible to have God love unless God help us to set aside our own natural desire so that we can love and not expect everything in return. See, God have to help us, and the way God help us is through the Holy Spirit and through grace. That's why he told those apostles and disciples, he said, don't go nowhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And like I said, Paul was telling them what love was not. Now, in my message Bible, I got my message Bible, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read some more notes. Because like I said, there too again, you got to see what God say about love. You understand what I'm saying? You need to know what God said about love, not what Prophet Miller said about love. That's why it's so important to get in here and read the Bible and see what God say about love. That is so important. And I'm telling you, a lot of people, you say, well, what love got to do with it and all of that stuff? But when you read the Bible, to see what God said about love, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It really makes a difference. Let's pick one out. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 13, if I, it said, love is not rude, unmanly, and does not act unbecomingly. And, you know, if the love of God ain't been perfected in you and as the act of your will, you're not operating it, you know, some saints can be so rude. Yes, I you know, as a former pastor, I mean, some don't go their way, and they just go in a rage. And instead of, and I'm telling you, all of us have the opportunity to act ugly. Nobody's exempted. But as the act of your will, if you choose to do what the word says, guess what? You can do it. Are you following what I'm saying? Then, also, it's a love. God loving us does not insist on his own rights or his own ways. I think I just need to read it from the Amplify. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I'm going to get my Amplify. I like the Amplify translation. I like all the translation. You'll find me in different translation, and I love it. Okay, I'm in my Amplify. Okay. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from the, I'm going to start with that third verse. I know I'm not going to get done this evening, but we're going to do the best we can. It's, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasonable, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for it in us. Like I said, those Corinthians at that time, they was excited about the gifts. And that was really operating in them, but not according to the love that God would have them to do it. We got people like that now. That's why Matthew 7 tells us, many going to say in that day, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do this in your name? And he going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. You were never intimate with me. You never had a relationship. There too again, God's gifts and calling is without repentance. Do you not know you can help others? And don't do it yourself. That's why Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, that when I have preached to other, I won't be a castaway. I keep my body. That's the spirit. He said, I keep my body under subjection. See, like I said, it's the spirit that our soul supposed to submit to. Your soul can go either with God or go with the devil, go with the world. It can do that because the soul is in the center. And that is so important. But look at what this he say. He said, if it's not inspired by love, for in it, it's just a noisy goon, a clamoring cymbal. Look at the second verse. And he said, if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpretation, interpret the divine will and the purpose and understand the secret truth and mystery and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God love in me, I am nothing, I am useless, and I am nobody. See, love don't demand. And that's why I say it is so important that we need to understand what God said when it comes down to love. And we as saints, we supposed to demonstrate this love to the world. Come on. But like I said, some saints, you might not like what I'm saying, but you got some saints, it's the old folks you say, they mean as a rattlesnake. There's somebody that have not allowed the love of God to be manifest through them. Are you hear what I'm saying? All through the Bible talk about love. All through the gospel, Jesus talk about love. Come on now. I know you might not like what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. And like I said, love is so important. Love is one thing, but it is displayed in many different ways. If we are not aware of the fact, we may believe that we are walking in love while being impatient or rude or selfish or proud. And that is so true. That is so true. You know. I had to learn that. Love endure alone, and it is patient and kind. Listen, patient and kind. Some saints ain't kind, prophet, but you just don't know what I go through. Listen, we never have the right to excuse ourselves from doing wrong. From doing right. I'm sorry. Because God made it possible. Didn't I just read from 2 Peter, the first chapter? That according to God's divine nature, he have given us everything that we need pertaining to life. Yeah, he's rude people in the world, but that don't mean you can be rude. Love endure alone. Love is patient. It's kind. Love never is envy, nor boil over with jealousy. See, when I read scriptures like this, it's like, oh, my Lord, help us. Now, you hear me say us. I ain't just talking about you. I said, Lord, help us. He said, if you got love, then remove mountain, but have not love, God, love in me. Other words, he talking about if we not allowing the God of love, if we not operate in the love of God, well, how do I operate in the prophet? I told you, when you apply the word to your life, meditate on the word and do it. I tell myself, and because the agape love is on the inside of you, you can love the unlovable. Yes. As I stated, why would God tell you to love people if he didn't give you what you need to love? And I'm telling you, love is the greatest thing in the world. And that's what it tells us, how we supposed to make love a priority. It should be first. God is love. Love don't need no introduction. I remember one of the deacons in one of the church I used to minister, he used to always say that. Love don't need no introduction. Jesus said, by you loving one another. And when God see how the saints treat one another and treat the sinners and everything, it grieved God. Because now that don't mean you let people just treat or do you any kind of way. No. He said, but I'm using nobody. The third verse, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor and providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God love in me, I gain nothing. Love endure alone and is patient. And then it said kind. I just read that, but I'm being a little repetitious here. He said, and it's kind, it's patient. And you know, we can be so impatient with one another. We can be so impatient. You know, we get impatient with God. When God, when? Why God, why? I've been praying for X amount of days, X amount of months, X amount of years. See, when you pray in faith, faith says it's a done deal. Faith tell you it's done now. And see, don't say, well, we have to learn how to operate in the kingdom. I love some James said, you have not because you ask not, and when you ask in amiss. We got to make sure when we do pray, we praying according to what is written. What some people call praying is mumbling and complaining. I'm talking about an act of your will, and I'm talking about love, because all that go in there. I have to choose to obey God. That's an act of my will. I just can't, you know, wait on God. Honey, I need God to help me. But when you don't know any better, you know, my mama always told me, if you don't know no better, you don't do no better. But when you know better, you're supposed to do better. Well, it's scripture. That's why James said, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word, you know. And see, the enemy wants us to believe that we can't do what God say do. Like I said, he said, love, endure, long. Endure what? Whatever people throw at you. Here's so many verses and proverbs and through the gospel, when you find out what it talk about love, you know. It's a lot in there. And like I said, sometimes people think they operating in love when really they not operating in love. Love is seen as we are patient with one another. And like I said, we can be so impatient. I've been there. Please hear me. We can be impatient with people. We can be impatient with our circumstances. We can be impatient with God. And like I said, we be wanting things done fast. And when things ain't done, when and how we want it, sometimes you ought to examine yourself. What kind of mindset do you operate in? What's coming out of your mouth? Come on now. I had to learn that, and my children used to tell me that. Mama, you're so impatient. And they said, I ain't impatient. And when the Lord showed me that, I said, I sure am impatient. Ann Miller, you impatient. You know, see, that's the thing about what I love about having a personal relationship with God. A lot of time, human nature, it wants you to look at other people. But I love this about being in the kingdom. God don't talk to me about other people. He talked to me about Ann. He showed me me. That's why Jesus said, you know, you're trying to take the mind of your brother out when you got speaking. You got to deal with you first. And I'm telling you, and I say this is so important. Deepen your relationship with God. Make sure you spend the time with, well, my time about out. And, you know, but I'm going to pick up here on Monday if it's the Lord will. But I'm telling you, love endure long and it's impatient. That's why if you got somebody in your family you've been praying for a long time, don't give up. The Bible said love never fail. Love never fail. You have to be patient. One of the times I waited patient on the Lord. He heard my cry. You have to learn how to be patient. You hear me? He said, learn. I found out I can fast, I can pray, but that don't make God move no faster. That's why we have to trust him as our Heavenly Father. God is my Father. He used to be my God when I was a sinner, but once I got saved, he's my Father. And, okay, you remember in the Lord's Prayer, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, there's kind of, like I said, I'm talking about your will. I'm talking about the love of God as well. But do you not know God have a will? Jesus have a will? The Holy Spirit have a will? Remember, Jesus, I didn't come to do my will. The devil have a will? Demons have will? Yes, they do. And that's the thing, you know, when God began to revelate that thing to me, you have a will, Ann, and I'm not going to violate your will. That just like all this we read it, we have to choose to allow that agape love in us. But you got to know, first of all, you have the ability to operate in love. You have to be patient. You can endure. And like I said, love is patient. It's not in a hurry. It always takes time to wait. And y'all, I'm telling you, this is why so many people make so many bad decisions. They don't want to wait on God. We want what we want when we want. And I found out that ain't good. I found out even after I got born again, I had to learn with the help of the Holy Spirit to wait on the Lord and be patient, be of good cheer. Because faith said faith is having confidence and trusting in what God's word says. If it take days, if it take months, if it take years, you got faith to say, oh, but his is done. It shall be according to what God's word say. And that's why it's so important. You have to renew your mind. You know, we go through the drive through, and we think it worked like that in the kingdom. No, it don't. So many people right now, they disappointed. Well, I've been praying for so-and-so for years, and God ain't did nothing yet. See, you don't even understand one of the laws and principles. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. A person that the word of God abiding in them like it's supposed to, that person, okay, God, I just thank you for it. God, you said your ears is open to the righteous cry. Come on now. I'm telling you, love is patient with people. And I tell you, God is patient with us. The love of God in us. And, you know, I had to learn how to talk to people. I had to learn how to listen to people. I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you, love. And that love is in us. Come on, prophet. You see, yes, I am. James even tells us in James, he tells us to count it all joy when we fall in divers temptation. And then he said, but let patience have its perfect work. I'm telling you, I don't know about you. A lot of us, we want what we want when we want it. And when it don't show up when we want it and how we want, we start running off at the mouth. That ain't the way the love of God operates. And I'm telling you, when we make time and spend time with God, if we make and find time and spend time with God, we can operate. We can allow that agape love that is in us. I'm talking about love is patient. And I'm telling you, when we impatient, believe it or not, Satan will have a heyday in your life. He'll torment you. He'll start doing that. He'll start throwing that thing on us what he throwed on Eve. Did God say? You ever been believing and waiting on God to do something, and the devil said, you need to be doing something. That's why it's so important. You need to know what the words say. Come on now. You need to know what the words say. Because like I said, patient, I'm telling you, patient is a wonderful virtue. And you can, you and I, when I find myself getting first grade, I find out, when Ann started getting first grade, I find out, thank, this is what's going on with me. First of all, Ann, you done got out of faith. And now you in your flesh. You let what you see and you let what you hear. Well, my time is out. I'm going to stop right here. We're going to pray. But I want to continue this on Monday coming, ask the Lord if it's the Lord will, because I want to talk more about it. And read 1 Corinthians the 13 in its entirety. Go back and read Matthew the 23rd chapter. Okay? Go back and read these scriptures that I don't know. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those that tune in. I pray, God, even if we go off the air, that you will bring forth even more enlightenment and understanding of your word. I thank you, Father. You said seek us find. And as we continue to seek you through your word, after we desire to have the understand and the knowledge and the revelation of the word, it will be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.